You've been hiding in the shadows way too long. You always thought that you were weak, but babe, you're wrong. Yeah, you better step into the light, just give it a try. Think that it's time you let that spark out. You've been hiding in the shadows way too long.
Hey, welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. I'm Robin, your host, and I'm a late bloomer just like you. We are a part of a rapidly growing, lesser known or even talked about subset of the queer community. We're a tribe, if you will. And if you're anything like me, when I came out, I was confused, scared. I felt like I was going crazy and I felt all alone and had nobody to talk to. Not to worry, you've come to the right place. In the Coming Out Late podcast, you'll hear real, raw, and relatable Coming Out Late stories. You'll be inspired, informed, and educated, and you'll definitely feel supported. And you can stop feeling like you're living someone else's life and start living your own. So welcome. You have found your tribe. And welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. I am Robin, your host. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in today and for sharing a part of your busy day with me. I really do appreciate you listening. I am sitting here with one of my all-time most favoritest guests I've had on my podcast. I've invited my love, my girlfriend, and my best friend, Chris, back on the Coming Out Late podcast to have a casual chat with me about gender identity, gender expression, sexuality, and the significance that the labels of binary and non-binary have on the way we perceive ourselves, the way we want to be perceived, and the way others perceive us. And this is a pretty personal conversation for both Chris and I, because we are experiencing lots of revelations about Chris's gender identity and gender expression, and how together Chris and I are uncovering some pretty profound and cool things related to all of that. It's pretty amazing to be on this journey with Chris, and I invite you to come along and have a listen to our personal, casual conversation about gender and sexuality. And before I hit play, I do want to remind you all to please not only listen all the way through to the end, where I will share information about our 2024 Coming Out Late retreat schedule, but also to ask you, if you have not done so already, to please, please, please rate and review my Coming Out Late podcast. It really makes a big difference in the growth and also the opportunities for our podcast. In addition to leaving a review and a rating, please also hit subscribe to Coming Out Late as well, like at your earliest convenience, if you don't mind. So thank you. I really do appreciate that. Okay, so let's just get right into my conversation with Chris about her journey with gender and our personal experience with understanding gender, sexuality, and the non-binary. Enjoy. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Robin.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. You're a popular one on the podcast. People have enjoyed the two of us talking together. And actually, recently I got that compliment. Aisha said that she had no idea we had not known each other for as long as we did or do.
Yeah.
And that she thought we had been together a long time and that we've been podcasting a long time.
Well, I enjoy talking with you as well. So
yeah, it's cool.
I'm glad others are enjoying it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So we're here to talk about, how do we identify? Do we want to use labels? Do we not want to use labels? I know for me, when I first came out, which was going to be 9 years this May, it'll be 9 years ago. And I think I was so excited with coming out that I like wanted to claim a label. And the only one that really seemed to fit at the time was lesbian. And I didn't really like that label. I don't like the name lesbian or the word lesbian because of all the negative connotations that I think I've learned subliminally about it. So, but that's kind of where I landed. And I found publicly, when I would have to introduce myself, I usually said I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I landed for a whole lot of years.
Right.
And you've been out a little less longer. What's...
A little less. Well, first I want to say congratulations. 9 years.
Oh, I know, wow. Right? And I out 9 years.
It's so funny because in other circles that Robin and I travel, we celebrate anniversaries, and we all celebrate different kinds of anniversaries. Just made me think, like, and in the other circles that I'm speaking of, we talk about, and we've talked about this openly, we're both in 12-step practices, and some of those practices call your anniversary, they call it your birthday,
mm-hmm.
and then your real birthday, we call your belly button birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, this is kind of a birthday.
It is.
And was your birthday on your birthday?
Well, this is what's crazy. I did come out. I don't think it was exactly on my birthday. I came out to myself. I had my aha moment over Memorial Day weekend, which is when my birthday typically falls.
Mm.
And I was all by myself at the time at our vacation house up on Lake Ontario. And yeah, so wow. It coincides with my birthday, which I don't think is a coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And I hadn't thought about this until just this moment, but I guess I want to encourage people, if you know the date that you had your aha moment, it might be nice to keep in mind because it is a birth date.
It's a rebirth.
And for me, I know it's been a significant experience and life changing.
Yeah.
And sure. I don't know the exact date. I'm kind of thinking, well, I know it was in March of 2020. So it's coming up. Well, I guess we're
passed.
April. So we just passed my rebirth date.
Oh.
4 years. Well, that I came out to myself and I want to go back and see. I might be able to go back in time and find the date. But
I wonder if I think I can too.
Yeah.
If I look at the calendar of May of 2015, mm-hmm. I probably can pinpoint it.
Yeah. So yeah, I might.
And I think a lot of people in our Facebook group do know their date because every mm-hmm. now and then I'll see someone say, I came out a year ago today. And I'm like so jealous because like, do I know the date?
Mm-hmm.
So some people do.
Yeah.
Know the
so
date.
If you don't know it and you've just come out, I'm going to say keep it on your calendar.
Yeah.
Because what an awesome celebration that we can all
mm-hmm.
go back. And
yeah, it's a big date.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember. To remember these moments, to celebrate, not to remember necessarily, well, we remember too, but to celebrate these significant moments in our lives.
Absolutely.
To honor them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
give them space and to remember them each year.
Yeah.
It's
a great idea.
Mm.
I like
yeah.
that.
Well, that's...
So we're going to talk today about binary, non-binary, and gender identity, and sexual orientation, fluidity. Mm-hmm. And I just want to preface this all by saying we are not experts. I'm not an expert. Mm-hmm. I don't think Chris, we're both still learning about this. And that's really what this is a casual conversation and a casual exploration of what we're learning as we go. And we're kind of sharing with you in real time what Chris and I are experiencing as a couple with each other and what we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
And as of today, today's podcast is around gender and what that means to Chris and I and what we've learned and what we still need to learn to know and all that stuff. And we talk about fluidity. We talk about shifts. So anyway... Yeah.
Well, you'd started to, I think after you explained or just described your experience of coming out and finding this, like these labels, which we both have talked about, like we're not necessarily crazy about the labels, but there's sort of, I think for both of us, I could speak for myself that I did sort of want to label or kind of have some words around it. And so you were about to ask me and I came in with just the happy birthday.
Yeah.
So to answer the question that you started to go into was when I had my aha moment in March of 2020, I also had this moment of, or these, I think it might have, well, there was an awareness, but it might have been, it was a short time of, I did the same. I was like, oh, so what am I? I immediately knew that I was gay, but it was, what do I call this? What do I call myself now? How am I going to express myself in the world? What does that look like for me? And lesbian didn't land for me either. Gay, I liked that. That felt more, it just felt a little more right. And then I heard people just talking queer, and that felt, again, a little bit right, because queer seems, it sounds more expansive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the term gay for me feels like, I don't really prescribe to the fact that, like, back in 10, 20, 30 years ago, gay was mostly for men and lesbian was only for women. Mm. And then there were other niche names for lesbian women, like butch and femme and all these other things. But yeah, I didn't... Gay, I like, and I would love to see everybody just consider themselves gay, you know?
Queer. Yeah. And it's so interesting because I just realized that gay and lesbian, the way we used to use the two terms, kept it binary.
Oh my God, that's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so...
So binary and non-binary means there are two. It's good or bad. It's high or low. It's hot or cold. You're either gay or straight.
Mm.
And I'm of the belief that I would have a hard time finding in our world where things are strictly binary. Mm-hmm. I haven't thought about it that long and that deeply, but I prefer to think of things as everything is non-binary. Everything really is on a spectrum. Our intellect mm-hmm. is on a spectrum. Our feelings are on a spectrum. Our experiences are on a spectrum. And all of those things can expand and change over time.
So I love the idea of paradox.
Mm.
And I've often said that for me, I live in, and this is like before any of this kind of exploration, I've always thought and you and I have talked about this idea that like paradox, I don't know if I can think of a good example, but you know, it's like at one end of either end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought about like, well, where does it meet? Like somewhere it has to meet in the middle. And then I've started doing this thing where I put one hand over the other, and instead of having them at either side of a spectrum, it's like maybe they're like kind of layered.
Like stacked.
Yeah. And so with that said, when you were talking about binary being like, what did you say? Hot, cold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh.
High, low.
Yeah. Hot, cold. I just thought of like, well, like if you think of it in terms of water, like hot somewhere turns into cold, which mm-hmm. can turn back in. So I don't know. So there's this like blending
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the middle. And so I don't want we started out sort of maybe labeling a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily want to label too much. And it's been helpful.
Mm.
And if I were to sort of label myself, I'd say that I land where hot turns into cold and cold turns into hot.
Mm.
So it's really sort of in the middle, and there's a little bit of both.
Mm. And then, so hot and cold being femme and mask, feminine and masculine,
mm-hmm.
and somewhere in the middle is...
Where they blend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You and I talked about this marbling effect,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's not I'm either masculine or I am feminine.
Yeah.
Which some gay people maybe feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people strictly feel really masculine mm-hmm. when don't want to be associated with anything femme-related. But in your case, I think you described it to me as marbling, mm-hmm. marbling effect. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, it's sort of like there's a swirling. And I think I thought of this because I do believe in the energies. And I do believe there's a more masculine and more feminine energy. And in yoga, we talk about the left side of our body is more feminine, and actually we use a breath called alternate nostril breathing where we look to balance the energies. And so the right side is the more masculine, it's the heating, it's the more like intense energy. The the left side of your body is the is like the moon or the masculine. The right side is the sun. The left side's the moon. It's calming. It's soothing. It's cooler. The right side's hotter. So we're going to go to those. It's interesting because you go to those binaries. So we do use the in Ayurveda, we talk a lot about the pairs of opposites. So I think there it is inherent in our world, and we have to, without the feminine energy, the masculine energy would be nothing. And without the masculine energy, the feminine energy would be nothing. And this is, again, I'm going to come back to just my teachings and where, I mean, if I could be, say I'm an expert in anything, I don't think I'm an expert, but I have some a good deal of experience in this field, that these energies, they have to, they coexist. And they, and so I guess I could go off on a tangent there, and I'll bring my mind, my ADHD mind back to where we're trying to focus, which is what?
Blending. I love the blending of the energies.
Mm-hmm.
That's the marveling effect.
And so I guess this is where I came up with that idea of there's this sort of marbling or blending or like a swirl. We talked about ice cream, yeah. Chocolate and vanilla swirl. Is that when I was thinking about this, we all have these energies. And I was thinking about in terms of this like left side, right side. And I was like, wow, it still feels too binary for me. And then also, so Robin and I were on a meeting the other day, and at the end of the meeting, something happened with my computer. Do you remember this?
Oh, yes.
And somehow it had, my left side was pink and my right side was blue. It had me split right down the middle.
That was wild.
And I was like, wow, look at this, because Robin and I have been talking about this for a while. And so I sent you the picture saying like, oh, look what just happened. And I was looking at the picture, and I was like, yeah, but that still doesn't quite feel right, because I don't feel like there's no like line down the middle. There's no like
no clear delineation.
No. And so when I had seen that picture, it really, I think I'm very visual, and the image that next popped into my mind was just this sort of marble kind of or swirl, and. An integration, I think, is a better way for me to look at it or think about it. And with all that said, and I'm still exploring this, I really love the idea of what the Native Americans call the third gender, because it doesn't, it's still, and I don't know that I have words, or maybe I will never have words. We've listened to a lot of different people talk about this stuff. And to be honest with you, what I often come back to is there really are, we're trying to describe the indescribable. And we often use those words for when people try to describe the universe, a higher power, God.
It's just huge.
Enormous. We often say that we're trying to describe the indescribable. And I almost feel like that here. There really aren't words around it, and maybe somebody, I just haven't really landed on it yet, but the best that I've landed on it so far is what the Native Americans call Two-Spirit. And with that, I like the idea of the third gender, because I don't necessarily feel like it's the one and the other. It's not the female. Two separate spirits like sitting next to each other or somehow with each other. They're blended together, they're integrated, and there's this third entity. This third gender.
That's really beautiful.
I don't know that I'm explaining it as I feel it.
Yeah, I understand it. I this has been an interesting exploration with Chris, talking about these terms and our gender. When I want to also acknowledge that when I didn't like the word lesbian, I recognize that it's because I have been socialized and educated to think negatively, and I am working on wanting to shed that. And I just find this whole coming out process to be fascinating, because it's not just about us coming out. It's about suddenly realizing there's patriarchy out there, there's colonization, there is prejudice, and there's binary, non-binary, there's fluidity, there's all these things to consider that I just never... never imagined. Mm-hmm. And it's opened up and expanded my thinking. It's expanded my heart because I'm open and interested in just being curious, mm-hmm. just being curious about all of it. And I grew up as a tomboy. And there was a nanosecond growing up that I wondered if I wanted to be a boy. Mm-hmm. Did I want to have a penis? And did I want to go through life as a boy? And I think I experimented briefly with that. I think my dad one day let me, when I was like 10 years old, let me go to the beach without a top on. And I hated it. Like, I felt so exposed. Now, I don't know whether that's because that was conditioning or what, but I put my tank top back on or whatever I had on. And I thought, well, that's enough of that. But I do have a certain amount of boyish energy in me. As my daughter pointed out to me, like, Mom, you played softball, you like power tools, like, and I do. I'm not a girly girl. And I've gone through most of my life sad that I didn't feel more feminine. I felt like, God, how did boys even like me? Because I was such a tomboy. Mm. And I felt less than because I didn't have more feminine energy in me. And I didn't, yeah. And now I feel so much more comfortable in my skin. Yeah. Now, not having to worry about wearing not enough makeup and having my nails done and whatever that pressure was that I felt growing up.
So I'm just going to say something from my heart that I feel when I'm with you. And you can say whether or not you feel like this is a truth for you, is that I actually experience you as having a lot of feminine energy. And I think it just doesn't express with how we've labeled what feminine energy should look like. Mm. I think there's like if we can really be more expansive in the thinking around the feminine energy, that maybe there's more than you think. Maybe you do express just in a different way than we think we're supposed to express. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. That goes back to what society labels as this is feminine and this is feminine behavior and this is how feminine people look and dress and speak. And I will say that my feminine and masculine energy, I can feel it being fluid in me. Mm-hmm. That because you have more masculine energy in you, and because I experience that masculine energy in you, I find that it brings out my feminine energy more, which I find so fascinating. And I don't think it's anything I consciously do. And it's something I have to say I enjoy. I enjoy feeling, to me, a little more girly around you, which is like something I've never been able to experience, really.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
And vice versa. For me, I think that our relationship has sort of, I don't know, fostered, if that's the right word. It's given me the
freedom.
The freedom, almost like, and there's almost a part of me, like, because you're so open and you've not been afraid to share about how you're experiencing me, I've been able to explore that more and become more, it's almost given me permission to be who I am. And I'm curious if we almost describe who that is, like who you experience. I don't know if that would be helpful for people.
Maybe, probably, because I feel like we're dancing around it a little bit.
Maybe.
I do want to say thank you for sharing that. And I think because I have an open heart and an open mind, that enables you, as you just said, to be freer and feel validated and feel like you have permission to be yourself. And to me, on a grander scale, I'm not saying that to toot my horn. I'm saying, God, wouldn't it be beautiful if everybody had an open heart and an open mind?
Well, and the great thing, or the really cool, interesting thing about it is, and then, again, I don't want to speak for you, so I'll let you speak to this, but we both have shared that we grew up homophobic.
Yeah.
So isn't that fascinating? That I know for me, I was shut down to it. I didn't really want. I've shared this before. When I was looking at colleges, I wanted to play field hockey in college. I actually wanted to play softball in college. But the reason why I ended up choosing field hockey is, well, I think I was just pushed that way. I was a people pleaser. But anyway, when I went to choose, I met a few of the coaches, and they were obviously, I would say, butch lesbians. And that's how, at the time, I would have labeled them, and I probably did label them in my head. Mm. And I didn't go to those schools because of that.
Wow. Well, I wanted to, on the homophobic thing, I wanted to share that Yeah, I definitely was homophobic. And I don't think I realized the extent to which I was. And then something happened when I was married. Well, let me back up. When I was in high school, I played a lot of sports, mm-hmm. softball and field hockey. And I wanted to play sports in college. And somebody in high school, I don't know who told me, but somebody whispered in my ear and said, well, you know that everybody who plays sports in college are gay. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to catch that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to get turned gay.
Yeah.
And so I didn't. I denied myself of playing sports in college because I was afraid to join a team and be around all these gay people and be turned into a gay person.
Look at you now.
That is crazy.
It is crazy. And so this is where I was going. This whole idea of it was where the fear was, right? Mm. And so I think the experience for me now, and I think from doing the work of the heart opening work of whether it's, I'm going to go with my yoga practice and my meditation, doing this sort of heart expansive work, mind expanding, heart expanding, and then the 12-step work of like going to the fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, and both philosophies of like, oh, there's fear here. I need to look at what this mm-hmm. fear is, and starting to look at things that like that scare me. That is sort of, I think that's where I was trying to go, is that it's just so fascinating to me that what was hiding underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do want to say too, that during my marriage, something came up and I responded about a gay situation, I guess more openly than I had in the past. Mm-hmm. And I remember my ex-husband saying, wow, you've come a long way. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you used to be so homophobic. And right. I really, until he said that, didn't realize how homophobic I was.
And that was before you came out?
Before I came out, years before I came out.
So your heart started to maybe expand.
Yeah, somehow, slowly. I mean, everything was so slow, even my coming out.
I think these things, I do, and you've talked about the breadcrumbs. I think all of these things happen long before we know.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to, because I think I'm sort of an expert in recovery, so I'll go back to that for a second, is when people get sober, they say it takes 8 years at least until people have that continuous sobriety. So it's happening long before they find, and I would imagine there's something similar here. This is a recovery as well.
Right.
And
right.
So I would imagine 8-10 years. So if you think you came out 9 years ago, go back 8 or 10 years before that.
Yeah.
That's probably when this started to uncover.
Well, it
slowly.
Did. I would say, I used to say it. Me coming out in 2015, it was an 8-10 year journey.
Mm-hmm.
It was an 8-10 year journey. And even just thinking about somebody telling me that, oh, well, they're gay in college. You don't, just know that if you go play sports. Even that was a breadcrumb, mm-hmm. right? That mm-hmm. was an opportunity to just say, oh, I don't care or whatever. And I didn't take any conscious or intentional thinking about around that or feeling how I was just like, oh, my God, no, not for me.
Yeah.
And it's so ironic because after I graduated college, a friend of mine invited me to play softball on just a summer league with people that are older. And I freaking got on a team. Well, I think the whole damn league was gay and I didn't even know it. It was so funny. I still was like so naive and clueless until a woman in the bathroom told me I had nice legs. And I was like, huh. And I like made a beeline out of there. To my friend Pat, I'm like, Pat, are we on a gay team? Like, a gay league? And she's like, well, I'm sure there are a few people here. And I'm like, I think everybody here is gay. Oh,
that's great.
It was crazy.
Yeah, so your comment on taking this back, like, 8 or 10 years and the sort of peeling open brought me to the covering. So we're so the 8 or 10 years ago was where we start to uncover, maybe slowly,
and
I don't know that that's for everyone.
And recover our true selves,
right? And I do want to also acknowledge that there are people who might be listening or who are in our groups that may have known all along,
right?
And they just for whatever reasons
had to,
weren't safe to come out,
right?
And so not everyone, I want to just acknowledge that not everyone has had this experience, and the idea of at some point a lot of us had covered over our
expression?
Or? Yeah, our true expression of ourselves. And I'm going to use my story of, for me, it was around, I think it was around 10, I feel in my body that at some point. And before that, and I want to reference Stevie Ingram.
Okay. So who Chris is talking about, Stevie Ingram is a podcaster, and she's a trans femme podcaster, also a yoga therapist.
Mm-hmm.
She also works in health equity and education, health equity and education. And yeah, the name of her podcast is called Queer Storytime, Queer Storytime, the podcast. And Chris actually introduced me to the podcast and to her. And there's a newer episode that just came out that I want us to listen to. And maybe we'll do a part two of this or whatever, add to it. But she talks a fair amount about gender and non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
also working toward her degree in naturopathic medicine. So
what is that? What's naturopathic? I don't know what that is.
Well, let's just for the short time, just it's alternative.
Okay.
Alternative, okay, holistic medicine.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to just rewind for a second on how we got here. So I think the reason why we talked about doing this podcast, Robin, was sort of my exploration and my identifying with people in our community, or my maybe like I could identify in a certain level, but I haven't been able to identify completely with the support groups.
Right, the support groups and other people's shares in the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what Chris and I realized is that there's a little bit of lack of representation, maybe?
Yeah, and maybe there's lots of people out there, or some people out there.
We're wondering, and we're curious as to how many people are feeling like they're questioning their gender identity.
Right.
Like maybe you came out initially as lesbian or gay or whatever, and you're not, and you still may not be sure.
Mm.
And actually, Chris and I want to invite anybody who's not sure to join us on the journey that she and I have been on. We're even seriously considering doing a support group, a separate
right.
support group for people who are either non-binary, think they may be non-binary, don't know, but like are
want to explore
like what does that mean and what does it look like, how does it feel?
Yeah, or maybe people who are trans. I mean, who want to explore just people who. We want to open it up to people who want to explore this
subset of gender or whatever.
Right. The expansiveness of it all. And the reason why I wanted to come back. So we started to talk about Stevie. So we're going to come back to that. So Stevie talks about, well, I'm just going to read this. In one of the podcasts, Stevie said that many trans people have an awareness that there's an incongruency between their gender identity and their physical body from a very young age.
Say that again.
Yes. So many trans people have an awareness that there's an incongruency between their gender identity and their physical body from a very young age.
And gender identity is how we feel about ourselves inside.
Right.
It's something that you can't see. We heard in another podcast this woman describe it as your gender identity is if we cut you open and opened you up and looked around inside, we wouldn't be able to find your gender identity. It's in your knowing, you know, it's in your soul. And yeah.
Right. And I don't necessarily know what I know that a little bit about trans, and that Stevie talks about one of the other things Stevie says is that, and she doesn't talk only about trans, but she does talk about the idea that trans people can feel that they don't necessarily need to have the medical transition. It could be a social transition, but I don't, other than that, I don't know a lot about trans, but I would like to say we could substitute other. So this isn't just about, and I don't identify as a trans person.
Right.
I guess it was what I'm trying to say. And I identify with this quote.
Yes.
And
the quote being that from a young age,
right, from a young age that for me that I knew that
how you felt mm-hmm. was incongruent with what you were born.
Right. With my parts, with my body parts. Mm-hmm. And so I, as a young person, knew that I was called a girl and that I had body parts that were female. So what is that? AFAB. Mm-hmm. I was assigned female at birth. I didn't necessarily want the boy parts, but I didn't not want the girl parts. I mean, I don't know that I really cared about the parts that much. I was often called little boy. Mm. And I would always say, I'm not a little boy, I'm a little girl. And then I would pause, like I remember, and I told you one of the times, but I have some pretty vivid memories of that pause. Wow. And that pause was, I don't really know what that means. Like that I would say, because I knew, I was told that I was a girl.
Right.
But I didn't necessarily know what it, and I still don't know what it feels like. Mm. I still feel like I don't know what it really feels like to be a girl. And I actually just said to you a few days ago, I'm not a girl.
Mm.
And
that was wild.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge, for me, it was a big acceptance.
Yeah. And to say that out loud.
And that doesn't mean that I want to change anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to change any body parts. And to be honest with you, I believe in yoga, we say that the body is just a vehicle for the soul. Mm. And that I'm not this body and I'm not this mind. Mm. And I truly believe that my body is a vehicle for my soul, which I was a little confused about this, but it doesn't have a gender. My soul doesn't have a gender.
Yeah, I don't believe so either.
The soul is sort of under these energies. There's the soul, and then there are these energies that do express in the masculine and the feminine. And then that's what create further from there. Mm. And we won't get into all of that.
And that's the incongruency that you're talking about, too.
Mm.
You were assigned female at birth, and yet you can, with all the confidence in the world, today say, I'm not a girl.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have to change that.
Right.
And I know that that's not for everyone. I know there are people who really feel strongly that they need to change parts of their physical parts to feel more like themselves, and I honor that. And even though I don't want to change through, say, like surgeries mm-hmm. and such, I do change my body through my diet. Mm. And I never knew I did this. And actually, I've always worn a really tight sports bra my whole life.
Wow.
And I had no idea. I remember a couple of years ago, through my exploration of, well, who am I? Who am I in this body now? Mm. So especially because we were in COVID times, I wanted to be very careful around the other people in my life.
Mm.
And I knew that this was an inward journey. Mm. This wasn't necessarily about me having like a meeting somebody and having an outward experience.
Right.
It was about an inward journey. I was looking a lot at, I did a lot of online meetings, but also I was just searching mm-hmm. online for, how are other people experiencing this? And what is it called when Instagram does?
Oh, the algorithm?
Yeah, the algorithm. Mm. So from my looking at things, the algorithm, what kept popping up was like there's a few mask femme, I think they would identify as, who were like, I haven't seen it in a while. Oh my gosh, I want to find it again. But on my Instagram, it would start popping up, but they'd be like showing how they dress. And I'd be like, oh my God, like that's how I want to dress. And wow. A lot of them would wear.
They call it binding.
Well, I skipped that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they bind. And I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I've been binding my whole life.
Yep.
So I had no idea that that was a thing. And I'm still doing it. And so there's, I really appreciated what Stevie said about not having to, there's sort of the social transition. And I also go back to the idea, like the yoga teachings that, so the way I'm able to stay in this body and feel okay, because I'm a human being and this is a body that I need to feel comfortable in, although I know that I'm more than a human being. And so with all that said, Robin just reminded me that I do, and we've talked about this, that I might not subscribe. I know we talked about this. Yeah. I do still change my body with food and with binding. And so for me, I think really when I started to feel uncomfortable in my body, like really started to feel uncomfortable, was when I hit puberty and started to develop curves in all the different places. And in particular, I can be more curvy at my hips and my lower body. And
that doesn't feel good.
And it doesn't feel good. So when I gain a little bit of weight, I can feel it. It goes right into my thinking, my head. Wow. And I start talking to myself like, and I never knew. I never really knew what that was. And I see it now. And I'm actually better now with it, because I just say to myself like, oh, this is okay. Like, you're okay. And that this is just my vehicle. Like I really do come back to this body is just my vehicle. And with all of that said, I can really enjoy this body now because there are pleasure zones. And for me, I don't want to change that. And I also will say that who's to say that if I did change the body parts that I'd feel comfortable with the other body parts or with the body? And so again, I'm going to come back to, I think one of the yogic teachings is contentment. And can I just be content with what I have? It doesn't have to be different. And so that's for me where I land with all of this.
And I have to say, I love the way Chris expresses herself with her clothing, with her hair. I don't know. I'm just going to say, like, it really gets me. And let me just back up a second. I used to be predominantly attracted to maybe, I don't know, my sexuality, I guess, my gender sexuality, who I was attracted to, it was much more narrow. In terms of what people looked like and
it was almost binary.
It was binary.
Well, we were saying in the start, like a gay man, a man who is attracted to a man is gay and a woman who is attracted to a woman is lesbian.
Right.
And I wonder, I mean, I'm more curious about this because this is your experience, not mine. So was it almost like, oh, I'm lesbian now and I'm supposed to be attracted to a certain kind of woman?
Maybe. Again, I didn't consider myself very feminine. I considered myself more of a tomboy, and I don't dress really feminine. So I think I leaned more toward feminine women, although I think about some of the people I dated, and it's like, that doesn't really track a lot, but...
Because you were dating other, maybe lesbian women... And I'm going somewhere with this. It might clear it out for you. Open this up because I see where you're going, and if we then look at how I present and express myself. So what I'm hearing is you were maybe, I wonder if your mind was like, oh, I'm a lesbian. I'm supposed to be attracted to a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. I think similar to my homophobia, and then finally my mind and my heart opened and I was able to be more accepting of gay people. And then lo and behold, I'm a gay woman. I think a similar journey took place for me. Once I came out, it was pretty binary. And yeah, I think I only thought that there were lesbians or gay people. I didn't know about non-binary like that. You know, we're talking 9 years ago. I didn't hear much about non-binary, and I was transphobic. I was like, whoa, I don't know. I don't know anything about that, and it's a little scary and whatever. So, yeah, I think you're accurate in that I just really only knew about one kind. And then I started, as I went out and I socialized and whatever, I started to notice mostly they were younger, but women who were androgynous. Mm. And maybe I saw them in advertisements or wherever, in movies and things like that. And I thought, well, they're kind of hot. Like, I like that look, you know? And I couldn't figure out whether I wanted to look like that or if I was... I was attracted. I don't think I wanted to look like that. I was attracted to that look and that energy. And it was about a year maybe before I met you that I was like, I think I could be attracted to a non-binary or androgynous woman. Like, there's something about the energy that really turns me on. And then all of a sudden I meet Chris, who is a non-binary and leans more towards mask and prefers to dress cargo pants and flannel. And God, she looks great. And short hair. And I don't know. I really like that. And along the
I'm just going to back up because I almost feel like that description is like a little bit like what a mask lesbian would dress like.
Okay.
Right?
I guess. Yeah.
Cargo pants, flannels.
Okay,
like,
yeah, mask lesbian.
And I still don't, but I don't, I would say I don't present like that at all.
Okay.
Right?
No, how do you...
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah,
I know.
So
I know. Confusing. I know. We said this earlier. Like, I feel like that I really present more.
Well, there's a variety.
I know. That's what I was going to say. More of the different colors.
Yeah, there's really, it's true. Chris, really, you can, maybe it's not fluid. Intentional on your part, but you can present to other people as just a more masked femme lesbian, a masked lesbian, maybe. And I don't know, I sometimes see you as non-binary because you do bind yourself and you wear really cool clothing.
Mm.
And
so when I'm going to want to go back to when we first met and started talking, I'd asked you, I was like, how do you see me?
Wow. This really has been a special conversation for both Chris and I. And when you tune in next week, you will find out how I answered her question. When we first met and started talking, how did I perceive her gender identity? And so much more. Until then, here are some announcements. If you get value from listening to my weekly podcast, I invite you to please show your appreciation by buying me a virtual coffee. All you have to do is go to the website buymeacoffee.com/Robin Douglas. RobinDouglass. I'd like to thank you all who have recently bought me a coffee or coffees, as well as all of you who have purchased coffees for me in the past. I really appreciate your support, and it does make a difference and means the world to Hugo and me. So thank you. Did you know I offer private one-on-one coaching? If you are struggling to make sense of and manage your coming out late journey, then I encourage you to send me an email and request information about my one-on-one coaching services. It really does make a big difference to have someone like myself who really understands what you're going through. Just email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com to request my coaching information sheet. Retreats. As far as the Coming Out Late retreats go, the retreat schedule for 2024 is shaping up nicely. The purpose of my Coming Out Late retreats is really to build community, make connections, and experience this newish out gay life with a small, trusted group of queer women, all while having a ton of fun in the process. We are kicking off our Coming Out Late retreats with a trip out to Portland, Oregon. Yay! We've been getting a huge amount of requests from people to come out to the Pacific Northwest. So here we come. And that's going to be in August. Then we travel back up to Up North Pride Festivities, which is taking place in Traverse City, Michigan, from September 25th to September 29th. And from there, we move on to Women's Week in Provincetown, Massachusetts, October 16th through the 20th. And if you want to be put on the waiting list for any of these Coming Out Late retreat locations, email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com and you'll be put on the group email list. That's all I have for you for now. But in the meantime, be good. And if you can't be good,
then at least be good at it. And remember, it's better late than never, because it's never too late. Carpe vita, everyone. Seize life. If you're looking for your people, your community, and a safe place to learn and get answers to your questions, then come join the conversation. Come join us in our private Facebook group, Coming Out Late, because we all know it's better late than never, and it's never too late.